It is time for the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast here on the Mitchell Bennett Radio Network. I'm Mitch. This is Katie.
Hey.
She's looking good here as we record on February 14th, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. I guess I should probably say that to you.
Even though they won't by any chance be listening to it tonight, but, you know, belated.
I was saying it to you, my wife.
Oh,
whatever.
Thank you.
You know, the listeners too. You guys, happy Valentine's Day. Very belated for some of you who's like 6 months later and you're like, who cares about that? Here we go. Tonight, we're talking about faith.
Yes, we really wanted to revisit this. And we are going to be talking about a lot of scripture on tonight's episode. Faith is so critical when you're considering life in light of eternity, because if you really believe that eternity is coming, if you really believe that you will be rewarded for every sacrifice in a way that exceeds your wildest imaginations, that's going to change how you live. And that's really what faith is. So we want to challenge you, because maybe you believe that eternity is coming. You believe in the promises of God in a head knowledge way, but you're not actually living it out in your life. And that is really where the rubber meets the road. And that's where we want to ultimately challenge you.
Absolutely. So the first scripture we would love to talk about tonight, and is entirely appropriate since it is Valentine's Day, is 1 Corinthians 13. That would be the love chapter here in the Bible, in case you're missing that little reference there. So here, a different part of the chapter a little bit, but Paul is talking about things that will pass away when the end comes, and things such as knowledge and prophecy and the gift of tongues, all these things we won't need anymore because everything will be perfect and we'll be seeing everything with perfect clarity. But there are three things that will remain, Paul says. He says that faith, hope, and love will remain, and the greatest of these is love. And that is a pivotal verse in the New Testament, and we want to spend some time talking about all three of those things. Now, earlier on in the podcast, we talked an entire episode about love, right? And we could spend so much time talking about love. I think we could have an entire podcast just about love. Podcast idea, write it down.
I thought that exact same thing when I was prepping notes for this podcast. I was going to make that comment, actually.
You're welcome.
Go on.
I'm a genius. Now I lost my spot. I don't even know what to talk about anymore. So you go
okay,
ahead.
Here's the point. This verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13, is fascinating if you're looking at life in light of eternity, because it's telling you that so many things are going to pass away. All knowledge is passing away, for example. And that's something that we can really pride ourselves on. Or possibly prophecy or tongues, if those are your gifts. But what will remain, faith, hope, love. Episode one, we covered love. You can't cover love, but we talked about it and shared some of our thoughts and insights about that, and we may double back to that. So that was episode number one. If you missed it, I would love for you to go listen to that. This episode, we are dealing with faith. So obviously, in the coming months, you can look forward to an episode dealing with hope.
Sounds good, Katie. We'll be looking forward to that podcast landing on insert date here. All right. So here we go. First question, what does it mean? What does faith mean? And how is it significant eternally? Well, we always ask the question, how is it significant eternally? So we are going to hopefully answer that question. Luckily for us, the Bible provides a great definition of faith. In Hebrews 11:1, the question is asked, what is faith? The answer is given. It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see.
Hebrews 11 is sometimes known as the Hall of Faith. And it is this amazing chapter. If you haven't read it or you're not familiar with it offhand, I want to challenge you as a little homework assignment after listening to this podcast to go read Hebrews 11 tonight. And you might want to read into a little bit of Hebrews 12. So it goes through and lists all these amazing people of faith who have believed God that are listed in the Bible. So like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you know these Bible stories, if you've taken the time to read the book of Genesis, which if you haven't, there's your next assignment, you know that these men each believed God. Noah was told to build an ark, and it made no sense, and the people around him ridiculed him because he wasn't by the sea. He was in the desert. So he believed God so much that he spent 120 years building a 450-foot-long boat on dry land. You have to believe God to do that. That is faith, because it was a belief that manifested itself into obedient action in his life. And as a result, he got to be saved from the flood along with his family, and then his lineage repopulated the earth. So he had wonderful blessings that came to him because of his faith. Faith is believing God so much so that we stake our lives on it. That was making a significant sacrifice of time to follow God and pride and image. And he was greatly blessed. Later in the chapter, the writer of Hebrews talks about Abraham. He says, "It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in a tent. So did Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God." That's Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. So there are so many things that stand out to me that I think are incredibly profound about this story of Abraham as retold in Hebrews 11. God told him to leave his home, and he did it. So he picked up everything, his family, his property, and just started out moving around the desert.
Not only that, he didn't know where he was going. He did all of that. He had no idea where God was going to take him to. He just knew that God was leading him.
Imagine if God told you, pack up as many possessions as you can put in a moving van and your family and drive, and I'll tell you where to go. I can't even imagine that, but he did it. And this incredible promise was given to him. This incredible blessing was his, that through his line, there was going to become this great nation and that all the people of the world were going to be blessed. Eternal things happened because he obeyed God. But the crazy thing is that in Hebrews 11, I don't know if you caught this, at the very end, it says, Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. He never expected to receive something amazing within his lifetime as a result of his obedience. It was always because he was looking to eternity. And he said, I'm with God. I'm just going to obey him because I'm trusting him. That is what faith is. Okay, so moving through the book of Hebrews is all these amazing examples of faith and blessing. Faith, obedience, blessing. But then at the very end, it takes a turn.
Hebrews 11, 35 through 38 says, "But others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning, and some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground." Those verses are radical. What they say is radical. They sound radical because they are radical. And if we truly believe that heaven is coming and that it's forever, then we're going to have to lay down our lives. We're going to have to make sacrifices. We're going to have to make changes, all for the sake of following God. And we're going to follow his kingdom and do what he wants to do. And if we believe this, we're going to live with a sense of urgency that these things are coming and that we need to live a life that is not only pleasing to God, but also is expressing our love in every single thing that we do.
Can you imagine believing this so much that you could lay down your life right now. And I hope you can, but I don't know that I've always been there. I think that God has really grown me through this hard thing to say, heaven is that real that I could die right now in total confidence and it would totally be worth it. But we need to have that willingness to die, because what we're actually called to do is to die every single day to ourself, to our selfish desires and self-interest and vain conceit. So here is the question that we want to pose to you. How would your life look different if you really truly believed that eternity was coming, not just on a head level, but on a life holistic, complete devotion? If you had faith that every sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom of God would be rewarded.
If your faith is complete, then you're going to love to the max. And what does that mean? You're going to love other people in ways that are unexpected.
You know, and perspective, eternity, it changes everything. Suddenly, we're not vying for our own self-interest. We're kind of set free from that to really say, how can I love you? How can I serve you? Because in doing that, God's actually going to reward me in heaven, and God is pleased with me. The eternal King wants me to serve and love and pour myself out for you. People are often easily offended or quick to demand their rights. I see this all the time on Facebook, people getting on and kind of sharing frustrating circumstances that they've had where they're the victim. And it's not that they're wrong, but you see everybody get on there and tell them how to put that other person in their place. But really, eternity tells us to love them, to care about the fact that they have an eternal destination, that the kingdom of God is more important than your offense. So whatever you can do to gain favor with them, to show love to them, and not to pander to their unhealthy ways, but to be willing to serve them and to go lower, to raise them up, to open doors for the gospel in their lives. That's the kind of perspective that we can have that allows us to be cool and not take offense and be willing to yield to others. That's really what we're talking about. Faith, or confident assurance of what we hope for, that it will come to pass, sets us free from sin, because we, just like with self-denial, we can say no to whatever it is, that juicy gossip or sexual sin or a lie that would make our lives so much more convenient and easy if we could just spin it. We can say no to all of that because we're here just to struggle it out and persevere throughout this lifetime and give glory to God. We're running a race, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, and we're fixing our eyes on the prize, the end goal, on Jesus. And so that's going to make us much less self-indulgent during our time on this earth. Another thing that faith enables us to do is to forgive. Even when that person doesn't deserve it, we forgive them as an act of the will in obedience to what God has commanded us to do. Because we believe what he says, that if we forgive others, we will be forgiven. And we know that all our hurt and pain is incredibly small because it's contained within the few years of our lives in this world that is passing away. And then we'll have eternity to enjoy the fruits of our obedience with our Savior. That long-sightedness allows us to forgive when it doesn't make sense. One last one that I want to throw out there as an example is, I think that faith enables us to stay in our marriages even when we might not be happy. Now, I'm not talking about marriages where there's abuse or there's some kind of extreme situation going on. So I'm not trying to speak to you directly, but I don't think that married couples are challenged enough to stick it out, because the covenant that you made is holy before God. And if you're looking towards eternity, you're not going to be so confused consumed with having the best possible situation in this earth. You're going to be consumed with walking in obedience to Christ and laying down your life to follow what he has said. So I think it can mean sticking out marriages and seeing what God can do.
I completely agree. Marriage is an important spot for us to exercise faith.
And it's a great note to end on with this little Valentine's sub-themed episode.
It is a great note to end on. And for those of you who are wondering, why didn't Mitch talk at all this podcast? It's because I talked for like 5 to 10 minutes, but we edited it all out. So, you know what? I'm sorry about that. I'm in a bad role tonight. That's just the way it is. But Katie, there's something really important in your writing life that's coming up. Why don't you talk very briefly about your awesome book that's coming out in 2 months from now?
It's less than that. Thank you very much. Yes, my book that I've been working so hard on for like a year and a half, seriously. I will never look at a book the same way again. It's a lot of work, but I'm so glad that I did it because it's over and now it's coming out. No, it is a 90-day devotion. And don't think devotion as in this is light and fluffy and trivial as some can be, because mine is not. Instead, think this is so deep and life-changing that you're going to need 90 days just to process it. At least that was what I was going for. So it is geared towards mothers, specifically mothers with younger children or children in the home. And it's a journey you go on in 30-day sections. I'm really passionate and excited to get this message out there. It means so much to me. It has changed my life. It's really everything that God has taught me about eternity. And I really don't feel like I left anything out. So it's all there. The book is available for pre-order right now. It's at heavenlymindedmom.com. And we'll be talking about it a little bit more in the next few podcasts as we build up to launch week. But pre-orders really help out a lot because it signals to stores like, hey, people like this book. So maybe it could get in some brick and mortar stores, which would be super fun and just get the message out all the more. So if you are interested, I would love it if you would do me the honor of pre-ordering. And I cannot wait until it's out there in the world.
HeavenlyMindedMom.com. And I'll have to say that as a man, I read it and I thought it was actually pretty good. So don't tell all the moms out there who are going to read it, but you know, seriously, it's pretty good.
Seriously.
All right.
It has a pink cover, a very feminine cover, but you know what? If you want to read it, guys, just, you know, take it to Starbucks with you. I think it'll make a lot of sense.
Nothing a little spray paint can't fix. All right. We'll talk to you guys in a couple more weeks.
Bye.
Seriously.